All right, welcome to the Young Turks. Jake Huger, Annika Sparin with you guys. Bit of hectic day. Lots and lots of news from Biden, from Trump, and from so many others. So we're gonna get started in a second. Just letting you know that ShopTYT does have 10 days of Black Friday sale going on, and we're on day 6. It sounds like it's 10% off of all TYT swag, whatever that means. So I thought they were all swag. Anyways, go check it out, shoptyt.com. I was wearing one of my t-shirts today and people loved it. That's the "Will You Shut Up, Man" shirt. They absolutely love that everywhere you go. Anyways, and one more thing, guys, just checking in on something that is important to us as Thanksgiving is around the corner. We want to give thanks to you guys for what you're doing at tyt.com/go, keeping us healthy and strong, and being part of our voice and letting us amplify yours. So let's take a real quick look at the thermometer there. That's great, 111, 976. We try to get to 200 each month. It'll be done at the end of this year. Now we're way past the halfway point of the month, obviously. So we still do have some catching up to do, but if we like, we could top off to 112 right now and we'll show it to you in the next break. That'd be amazing. TYT.com/go. You guys are the best. Anna, let's do it.
All right. Well, we have some breaking news in regard to some of the key battleground states that Donald Trump has been trying to avoid election certification in. So Michigan has voted to certify the results of the general election. Of course, this is the Michigan State Board of Canvassers. Earlier in this election cycle, there was this huge brouhaha over the Wayne County Board of Canvassers, with the two Republicans on that board refusing to certify and then later certifying. And then they tried to renege on their certification, but they were unable to. So the question was really left up to the Michigan State Board of Canvassers. And luckily, they have voted to certify the election results. That means that Joe Biden has officially won the state's 16 electoral votes. So there was still a little bit of drama when it came to the state board of canvassers. And I want to detail that for you right now. One of the two Republican members of the Michigan State Canvassing Board, Aaron Van Langeveld, joined the two Democrats to vote to certify the election results after it was actually unclear how he would vote prior to the meeting. The other Republican on the board, Norman Schinkel, abstained. He argued that the board should not certify the election results until the investigation into voting in Wayne County, the state's largest, which includes Detroit, was completed. Schinkel asked the Republican-led Michigan legislature to conduct a review of the 2020 election. Now, the Republican National Committee also got involved. So did the Michigan Republican Party. And they sent a letter to the Board of Canvassers on Saturday asking them to delay the certification for 14 days. They also asked them to wait for an audit of the election results in Wayne County, the largest county in the state that includes Detroit, even though state law doesn't allow that. But regardless of what they wanted, in the end, the Michigan State Board of Canvassers did vote, and luckily they voted to certify the election, solidifying the fact that Biden won the state of Michigan. And Cenk, real quick, there's also some good news out of Pennsylvania, where the Pennsylvania Supreme Court finally heard the Trump campaign's case regarding basically throwing out, disenfranchising voters and throwing out millions of ballots. So as the Michigan board debated Monday, Pennsylvania's Supreme Court rejected the Trump campaign's effort to block the counting of certain absentee ballots, clearing the way for votes to be certified in multiple counties, including Philadelphia. Now the Pennsylvania Board of Canvassers still hasn't voted to certify. We're waiting on that. But based on what we're seeing, it appears that they're gonna certify as well.
Okay, so this is the one we were really worried about, because Michigan state legislators went to go meet with Donald Trump at the White House on Friday. And then during the weekend, one of them came out and said, there could be a constitutional crisis here. And he didn't indicate which way he would go in the constitutional crisis, saying, yeah, basically indicating that picking a different slate of electors was still on the board and being discussed. And it didn't seem that he knew which way the state board of canvassers were gonna go. So it's a huge relief to see that they certified 3-0. So Schinkel didn't vote no, he abstained. His wife had signed an affidavit as part of a Trump campaign lawsuit in the state, so that's obviously relevant. And at the end of the day, though, it doesn't matter. It's 3-0. Michigan is over and in the books. Donald Trump is almost completely out of options. First of all, his followers, of course, don't know any of that. They just follow his Twitter account, insane right-wing websites, and some news outlets. And so they're of the belief that Trump has totally won. They live in a different planet. So outside, as they're certifying the vote, the Trump supporters were chanting 4 more years. 4 more years.
That's crazy.
Maybe of the Obama Biden team, but but they really believe, like, oh no, we got this. This is almost over. Trump's gonna get 4 more years. No, it is almost over. That's true. So we certify in a couple of places like Pennsylvania, then it's gone. In fact, here I'll make a fun small prediction. You'll see a news story probably within the next week or so that Trump had an interesting, provocative conversation with a general or two. And they'll say, no, of course, they didn't talk about any options in regards to the election. But that's what it'll be about, right? And the generals will, if you will, shoot him down. That's insane. That won't happen. But will Trump broach it? Well, now that he's almost completely out of options legally, electorally, in every way imaginable, the only thing left is militarily. Now, that's, again, it's not going to happen in America. I'm a lot less worried about that than I was about the state legislators. But it doesn't mean that Trump won't try. And for those folks at home who say, well, look, Trump is a principled guy who wants to vote, verify, and that's all he cares about. I just got to have two quick comments. One is, well, Wayne County, I mean, there are irregularities. As we told you last week, there was more irregularities in other Republican counties. And Republicans in Michigan said, we do not want those audited, touched, or in any way changed. We want them certified. Wayne County that had less charged, alleged irregularities, they say, well, that's a problem because it's got a lot of black Democratic voters. Oh, they left out that part about the black and Democratic voters, but it's super obvious. So if it was a Republican county, they had no interest in touching it at all. But when it came to a Democratic county, they wanted all of it tossed out. In the Pennsylvania case, they said every vote in Pennsylvania should be nullified. A Federalist Society.
It's insane.
Yeah, a Federalist Society right wing judge was like, are you guys crazy? You want me to, you don't have enough evidence to throw out he literally said this. You don't have enough evidence to throw out a single vote, and you want me to throw out 7 million votes. So that's the kind of cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs these guys are at. And last reminder for me is Trump won 2016 in Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin by 78,000 votes, and that's why he won the presidency. This time around, those three states are still close, but combined they're 255,000 votes. So Trump and all of his cronies say 255,000 is so close, you have to do recounts, hand counts, verifications, etc. But 78,000 wasn't close enough, so we didn't need any of that. And that's the argument they made in 2016. So as usual, facts and logic not required.
So the Trump legal team, the Trump campaign legal team, continues to embarrass itself. And there's no loyalty among these types of people. And nothing makes that clearer than what just happened to one of their attorneys, Sidney Powell. So let's talk about it a little bit. So the Trump campaign is now distancing itself and its association with attorney Sidney Powell, who did take part in that insane, unhinged press conference with Rudy Giuliani just last week. Now, the Trump campaign, the lawyers are saying, actually, no, Sidney Powell has nothing to do with us, even though they had included her in tweets and all sorts of communication indicating that she was very much part of the legal team. Now, Sidney Powell claimed without evidence, by the way, during during that press conference that deceased Hugo Chavez, among others, was responsible for rigging the election. The campaign claimed that she is not a member of the Trump legal team, even though the president and Trump attorney Rudy Giuliani had previously identified her as being on the team. The campaign's senior legal advisor, her name is Jenna Ellis, threw Powell under the bus by saying this: Sidney Powell is practicing law on her own. She's not a member of the Trump legal team. She's also not a lawyer for the president in his personal capacity. And I think it's notable just to mention that Ellis once referred to the legal team, which included Sidney Powell, as an elite strike force team. Let's watch.
This is an elite strike force team that is working on behalf of the president.
Yeah, so there's Jenna Ellis basically saying, like, this is an elite strike force team, and Sidney Powell is right behind her. Now, why is this happening? Well, Trump apparently seemed to favor her before. He had tweeted earlier, "I look forward to Mayor Giuliani spearheading the legal effort to defend our right to free and fair elections." Giuliani, Joseph DeGenoa, Victoria Tonsing, Sidney Powell, and Jenna Ellis, a truly great team, added to our other wonderful lawyers and representatives. But apparently, all of a sudden, she started getting negative press coverage, especially on Fox News, where Tucker Carlson started going after her pretty aggressively. She was supposed to make an appearance on Tucker Carlson's show, but once Carlson demanded evidence for some of the insane election fraud conspiracy theories she wanted to share with the audience, she got salty about it, refused to do so. And then that led to Carlson doing a segment that looked like this.
For more than a week, Powell has been all over conservative media with the following story. This election was stolen by a collection of international leftists who manipulated vote tabulating software in order to flip millions of votes from Donald Trump to Joe Biden. On Sunday night, we texted her after watching one of her segments. What Powell was describing would amount to the single greatest crime in American history. Millions of votes stolen in a day. Democracy destroyed. The end of our centuries-old system of self-government, not a small thing. After 4 years, this may be the single most open-minded show on television. We literally do UFO segments, not because we're crazy or had even been interested in the subject, but because there is evidence that UFOs are real and everyone lies about it. We took Sidney Powell seriously. We had no intention of fighting with her. We've always respected her work. We simply wanted to see the details. How could you not want to see them? So we invited Sidney Powell on the show. We would have given her the whole hour. We would have given her the entire week, actually, and listened quietly the whole time at rapt attention. That's a big story. But she never sent us any evidence, despite a lot of requests, polite requests, not a page. When we kept pressing, she got angry and told us to stop contacting her. When we checked with others around the Trump campaign, people in positions of authority, they told us Powell has never given them any evidence either. Nor did she provide any today at the press conference.
Oh, so Trump saw that segment, hated it, hated all the negative press coverage that Powell was getting, and decided to dump her. That's what happened behind the scenes. That's the reality of the situation. What's incredible is that Giuliani remains, and Giuliani is an absolute disaster, a complete pathetic embarrassment. But I feel like his days are numbered as well. Cenk.
Yeah, so I love these right-wing Republicans now all of a sudden saying, you know what? We're waiting for the evidence and we're so disappointed that Sidney Powell hasn't given it to us. You know why? Because some of the morons actually believe she has the evidence. That she has the evidence of Hugo Chavez's ghost working with Republican governor of Georgia and Bernie Sanders to throw this election. Rush Limbaugh did a segment today and he was mad. He's like, we've been waiting for what she called a fire hose of evidence. But it's not just her. I mean, Trump is wondering why things are going poorly. Well, you hired an elite team of lawyers straight out of an insane asylum. And so he's like, Jenna Ellis has just also got out of the asylum. And so did Rudy, and so did Sidney Powell. And it come to find out that they're not doing a good job. I mean, the last time I'm gonna go to LinkedIn at insaneasylum.com, Trump apparently said today, quote, his lawyers are fools, that are making him look bad, according to a report out today. Well, first of all, you got that covered all by yourself, big guy. So don't worry about anybody making you look bad. The fish rots from the head down, as Scaramucci described, right? Who briefly worked for Trump. And so in this case, you literally got rid of every lawyer who told you you cannot win court cases without evidence. So you guys are no good. We did the story for you guys. He thought that they weren't competitive enough. They're like, that's not a thing. Like, oh, if I'm a winner, I can make up evidence better and somehow convince a judge. And he's like, okay, that's it, you guys are fired. And Rudy came in, he's like, oh yeah, I can make up evidence. Yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah, we got tons of evidence. Then Sidney Powell came in, she's like, I got a fire hose of evidence. Hugo Chavez, yeah. It's like she's drinking Cristal champagne or something, and they're popping in all this evidence. And so like Tucker and Rush Limbaugh are like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Why won't she share the evidence? We're so mad she's not sharing it. You idiots, it doesn't exist. Hugo Chavez's ghost did not actually rig this election. He died 9 years ago. Dear God, they're so unbelievably stupid. And so Trump now is, you're not looking good. I wanna look good, I wanna look good. He's such a baby. How could you not see that? And of course, he was also disappointed in Rudy's dye leaking from his head. So that is not out of central casting.
So was I.
Yeah.
Hated that we had to spend any time looking at that. Hated that people are still making memes out of that image. Like, I get it, it's funny, but it's also incredibly uncomfortable to watch or see that. But no. Anyway.
Yeah, look, one more thing, Anna. So I gave a lot of the television anchors credit, which I don't often do, this weekend in a video that I did for you guys. And it's because they did a great job. They finally called it out as it was. And Stephanopoulos and Chuck Todd basically said it's an assault on our democracy and on our elections, what they're trying to do. And Tapper went even further and said that it was a clownish coup. And that's exactly what it was. It was an attempted political coup. It's still happening, but with Michigan being certified, now it's much, much, much harder to pull off. But he was trying desperately to do the clown coup. And if you're gonna do a clown coup, who would come out of your clown coup car other than Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell? So I don't know how they fit the fire hose in the car as well. But I hate to break it to Tucker and Rush, who are still waiting with bated breath. And now Mark Levin, the guy that right wingers is so sad. It's the stupid guy's version of a smart guy. He's like, I know the law, I know, and they're all wrong. You don't have to present evidence in a civil court hearing. Yeah, you do. It's a court hearing. You have to present evidence. And I don't care that the other folks are so unintelligent that they think you're smart. But that's not how the law works. There is no fire hose of evidence. And if you had any evidence, let alone a fire hose, you know when you release it? This clown, I hope you're gonna get this stopped, the Kraken tweet and stuff. But Sidney Powell thinks she's the Kraken, right? And you know when you release the Kraken? When you're in court, and you guys were just in court in Pennsylvania, the most important court case you had, and you got laughed out of the building by a right-wing judge.
Look, I'm gonna read her statement in response to the Trump campaign distancing itself from her shenanigans. But like, just understand that as I read this, this is a grown woman, right? This is a grown woman. We're not talking about some 26-year-old, and 26-year-olds are grown as well. But you know, some of the younger people who are affiliated with the Trump administration or the Trump campaign, they'll engage in clownish behavior. Like, you look at this woman with her like cheetah print sweater, and she looks like, you know, America's mom. Like, you would, but no, she's an immature child. It's amazing that she released a statement like this to CBS News. She said, quote, I will continue to represent hashtag we the people. You're giving someone an official statement. You're not tweeting. What is this? Anyway, I will continue to represent we the people, hashtag we the people, who had their votes for Trump and other Republicans stolen by massive fraud through Dominion and Smartmatic. Again, she's proved there's no evidence of that. And we will be filing suit soon. The chips will fall where they may. And we will defend the foundations of this great republic, hashtag Kraken on steroids. I mean, just Where is your self-respect, woman? Like, where is it? I just want to know where it is. Who communicates like that? Who sends an official statement about something as serious as this election with these ridiculous hashtags? Like, she's not some 15-year-old gamer. I don't know what she's doing. But anyway, she is embarrassing. But the sad part is Sidney Powell is just one embarrassing component of the Trump legal team. I mean, you have Rudy Giuliani still very much involved, still very much not embarrassing just Trump and his campaign, embarrassing the country with his shenanigans. And it's, I'm just hoping that it's over soon. I'm hoping that this doesn't devolve further. Unfortunately, you're right, Cenk, people who trust in Trump, who believe in him, who really want him to win, believe every word they say, regardless of this lack of evidence. And I'm worried that they're not going to just simply accept defeat. They're just gonna constantly question the valid outcome of this election, and it could devolve into something violent. And that's the risk that the Trump campaign has put the country in.
Yeah, so when I saw Kraken on steroids, I thought she wrote hashtag Karen on steroids, which I thought was actually way more appropriate. But my two favorite parts of the story is the Trump team now, as we just showed you, going, Sidney Powell, who is she? She's not part of our legal team. She's in every picture.
God, they're the worst.
Right. She's they're in the tweet worst. That we
Look
read
at this
you.
GOP tweet. Look at this GOP tweet. They had tweeted earlier this. We will not, they quoted her. They quoted her. The official GOP Twitter account quoted her where she said, we will not be intimidated. We are going to clean this mess up now. President Trump won by a landslide. We are going to prove it. And we are going to reclaim the United States of America for the people who voted for freedom by staging a coup. So yeah. Obviously the official GOP Twitter account was very supportive of Sidney Powell. Like, I love how they're all pretending like they had nothing to do with her from the jump.
Yeah, that was, to be fair, that was all the way back 3 days ago. So now they're like, who's Sidney Powell? No, she's not on the team, no. And she's not even, she's definitely not Trump's personal lawyer either. No, we never heard of her. Don't know what you're talking about. They're unbelievable. Their lies are so outrageous. But finally, we end on the most fun part of this. So Frank Luntz is the top Republican pollster, but he's not buying any of this. And he had just done like a little joke tweet about Jenna Ellis, nothing bad. It was just like, is this a parody account, right? Because she was making the same kind of outlandish claims. She tweeted back, now this is a lawyer that's still on the Trump team. Micropenis syndrome, sad. That's one of the top two lawyers for Donald Trump's legal team, Rudy Giuliani and Jenna Ellis, who's tweeting about micropenises. They're all Kraken, Karen on steroids or whatever the hell they are. They all like left a loony bin 3 minutes ago and before Trump hired them to be his so-called legal team. You guys are all deeply, deeply embarrassing. In all of this, Republican voters, they've gone to court 34 times. They've lost 34 times and never presented any evidence that came close in any of those cases.
So guys, we have a giant breaking news story coming up right after the break. Unfortunately, we have to take a break, but when we come back, huge, huge news related to the general election. You don't want to miss it. Come right back and share this stream, share and like this stream so we can get more eyeballs on it. See you in a minute.
Imagine that our democracy is a dashboard. Lights are flashing, alarms are blaring, warning us that it's time to check our systems. That's why I want to tell you about the latest podcast from The Nation called System Check. System Check is a weekly show where hosts Melissa Harris-Perry and Dorian Warren ask what it would be like to break free from the oppressive and malfunctioning political systems that are holding us down. And it's unapologetically rooted in progressive Black culture and politics. From the movement for Black lives to fighting for climate justice, the unjust immigration regime to the unfinished voting rights struggle, Dorian and Melissa want to know how you are living in, working around, smashing through, or recreating the systems that shape your life. System Check just launched, and I listened to the first episode that focused on advancing racial justice and protecting voting rights. It was a refreshing take on incredibly important issues. The hosts make it fun while introducing complex and controversial topics in a digestible and lighthearted way. I was also impressed with the interviews and all the information and facts that were delivered in the podcast. I know you'll enjoy System Check too. So don't wait. Subscribe to System Check on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts for new episodes every Friday.
Back on the Young Turks, Cenk and Anna with you guys. We do have amazing news. Just real quick, guys, we're on Samsung TV now, and there's actually a really easy way to download the free Samsung TV Plus app. So that way you can take TYT anywhere you want to go. So that's on select Samsung Galaxy devices. It's free TV, basically, no strings attached. So you could download it today, by the way, at tyt.com/SamsungTV. And you'll be able to find us super easy, but we're channel 1032 on there if you can remember. But just type in TYT or Young Turks anywhere. Let's take a quick look at the thermometer before we go on. I wanted to see if we got to 112,000, if that's ready. Hey, there we are, 112,798. Can we be bold as to say 113 as we're about to deliver good news for you guys? TYT.com/go, that would be amazing. I'm going to just read two tweets here, okay, or comments, I should say. Pork Chop Express said business leaders are also telling the GOP to get Trump out, or else they're cutting funds to the Georgia runoffs. What does this tell you about how bad Trump is doing? That's part of what I think is leading to the news we're about to give you guys. So you're exactly on it. As always, I love our members. And last one is Thomas Johnson again on Super Chat. Thomas, really appreciate your generosity. He said, I have a question I hope both of you will answer. Does progressivism have a branding problem? And if so, why? I think an honest look at the primary and general election results show that while many progressive policies are popular, the program Democratic Socialist brand is not. The progressive brand. No, I actually don't think that's true. We can talk more about it in the postgame because it's a longer question. We'll talk about it a little bit in the context of the Biden nominations, which we're going to get to in this program as well. And honestly, I just wrote the chapter on that for the book that I'm writing. This is going to come out next year. So it's justiceiscomingbook.com if you want to pre-order it. I explain all of that in the book. Those are two completely different brands. And anyway, I love the question, but we got to give you the breaking news now. So Anna, let's do it.
All right. It appears that Donald Trump is finally beginning the process of conceding to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, of course, is the president-elect. He has won the general election, but Donald Trump and his legal team have continued to fight that very fact. But they've continued to fail in court, because they haven't been able to provide any evidence of widespread election fraud. So as a result, finally, just a few moments ago, Trump tweeted this. I want to thank Emily Murphy at GSA for her steadfast dedication and loyalty to our country. She has been harassed, threatened, and abused, but I do not want to see this happen to her, her family, or employees of GSA. Our case strongly continues. We will keep up the good fight, and I believe we will prevail. And then here's the relevant part. Nevertheless, in the best interest of our country, I am recommending that Emily and her team do what needs to be done with regard to initial protocols, and have told my team to do the same, meaning that he has advised her to start the transition process, something that she has certainly resisted so far. And so Jeff Zeleny also tweeted that GSA has informed President-elect Joe Biden that the administration is ready to begin the formal transition process, according to a letter from Administrator Emily Murphy, which was sent Monday afternoon and obtained by CNN. It's also worth noting that the House of Representatives called on Murphy to testify before them today, and she completely ignored their invitation. And so there was some question as to whether or not she would be held in contempt of Congress. Knowing Democrats, I just assumed that that would never happen. But it is good to see that right after the state of Michigan voted to certify the election results in their state, Donald Trump has started to concede, and the transition process will luckily begin. And that's important because Biden needs intelligence briefings. He needs to begin coordinating when it comes to a pandemic response that's actually at least a little effective. And so things are developing in the right direction for once.
All right, that is excellent news. That means the clown coup is almost over now. So we're really close to na 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 na. And will I rub it in? Yes, 1,000,000,000%. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, I do declare in a club, we're more civil than that. Okay, I'm not in your club, I don't care. Can't wait for this guy to be gone. And this is his first, the beginning of a concession. So it was obvious that he was holding her up. And now I'm going to tell you a couple of reasons why Trump has finally let the GSA begin the transition to the Biden administration. Number one, yes, there was the issue of her being in trouble in Congress. Look, the Democrats, of course, as always, are way too soft. If I was running the House and somebody does not respond to a legal subpoena, that's contempt of Congress, I would have them arrested immediately. So we're not playing around here, and this is not optional. So you don't get to not follow the law just because you're in the Trump administration. But did Trump care about that? I doubt it. I mean, he's been having her subjected to all this pressure all this time. He never cared about her. It's inconceivable that he would care about her. So that was not the driving force. Obviously, he got clowned in Pennsylvania in his last court case there. Absolutely shredded by a Republican judge saying they don't have a shred of evidence. That had a role to play, but he had still not gone in that direction even after that decision on Saturday. Then just now, a little while ago, Michigan certified its results. So he is not going to be able to get the state legislator there to do a political coup as he was hoping they would. That's why he invited them to the White House on Friday. Probably most of his hopes were pinned on that. So that's extinguished. And then the third part of it is business leaders weighed in today. And they basically told the Republicans, you will not be getting any more donations until you get this clown out of office. And so you won't get any donations for the Georgia Senate races. You won't get anything. We wanted him to win, but he didn't win. It's over. And you're soon going to lead to market instability. And that is intolerable. So that group included Goldman Sachs, Carlyle Group. Believe it or not, two of the largest financial companies in the country are called Blackstone and BlackRock. And both of the BlackRock Stones were on that team saying, no, you're done. And Blackstone's led by Schwarzman, who is a giant fan of Donald Trump. And even he said it's president-elect Biden. So once the big money guys in Wall Street weigh in, it's over. And that's why Trump is finally saying, yes, sir, absolutely, sir. I'll take my spanking and go home, sir.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. I really think that the impact on those two Senate races in Georgia played a huge role in Trump's decision here, because as you mentioned, you have these hot shots on Wall Street getting involved and essentially saying that they will withhold any type of donations to these Republican incumbents in the state of Georgia. And then there was a lot of pressure by Trump's legal team toward Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue. Those are the two Republican incumbents running to get reelected in their Senate seats in Georgia. There's a lot of pressure for them to get involved and ensure that the state of Georgia refuses to certify the election results. And it was a really interesting play, because you had both sides. You had the people who want the transition to happen and people who don't want the transition to happen, Trump's legal team, both using Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue as bargaining chips. Any leverage that they had, they tried to use it against them or use them as part of their leverage in order to get what they wanted. But ultimately it appears that Trump isn't gonna get what he wants, and has luckily allowed the transition process to begin. So I want to move on to the next story because it has a lot to do with how important it is to name names. You know, Chris Coons, a Democrat, said, oh, you know, my Republican colleagues privately say that they believe that Joe Biden won the election. It's just that publicly they lie about the reality of the situation. Well, name names, don't cover up for them. Don't try to do positive marketing for them. And Carl Bernstein decided to name names. So let's talk about it.
It appears more and more that our system cannot handle, was not designed, neither our Constitution or our institutions, to handle an aberrant mad king like Donald Trump.
That is journalist Carl Bernstein, who is calling out specific GOP lawmakers who refuse to publicly hold Trump accountable for his refusal to concede. Now, today there was big news. It appears that Trump will allow the transition process to finally begin. The General Services Agency has contacted Joe Biden, and they will begin the transition process. But prior to today, it appeared as though only a handful of Republican lawmakers were willing to publicly mention what the reality of the situation was, talk about the importance of beginning the transition process, and also urge Donald Trump to concede. Now, Bernstein had talked to dozens of other GOP lawmakers who privately told him that they believed that Joe Biden won, but they wouldn't say it publicly. And so Bernstein decided to out them, and I'll share the names that he made public over the weekend. The 21 senators he named included, first of all, names you would expect, but also some surprises like Senator John Cornyn, Senator Rick Scott, and Senate Majority Whip John Thune. The other 18 GOP senators are Rob Portman, Lamar Alexander, Ben Sasse, Roy Blunt, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Mitt Romney, Mike Braun, Todd Young, Tim Scott, Marco Rubio, Chuck Grassley, Richard Burr, Pat Toomey, Martha McSally, Jerry Moran, Pat Roberts, and Richard Shelby. So those are just some of the names that he decided to make public. And I think it's important to do that, because doing positive PR for them by saying like, no, behind the scenes, they're good guys. It's just that publicly they're lying to everyone, just ain't gonna cut it. And luckily Bernstein felt the need to go public with this information.
Yeah, Bernstein, by the way, says that he did not violate any journalistic ethics. They had not spoken to him directly, but he had gotten it from a great number of sources on these specific 21 senators. And by the way, Pat Toomey and Rob Portman have now come out and said, yes, it's President-elect Biden. So they've joined the list of people who are saying this thing is done. But others on that list furiously deny that they ever talked crap about Trump behind his back. But everyone on the planet knows it except the Republican voters. And that's because the media will not report it, or they'll report it as whisperings, et cetera, anonymous. And that allows the Trump to say that it's fake news. So number one, it's profiles in cowardice for the Republican senators to pretend to be alpha male tough guys publicly, and then tell people privately, yes, we know Trump is an idiot. And we know he's a terrible guy trying to steal this election. But we're gonna sit by idly because we're too scared of him. That's just the saddest thing I've ever heard. So big bad John in Texas, John Cornyn, coward. Rick Scott and Marco Rubio, obvious cowards in Florida. They know, and now we know for a fact that they know. That Trump has always been wrong. I mean, think about it, guys, the enormity of what they're doing wrong. I'm not talking about Trump, I'm talking about these Republican senators. These are the guys who know for a fact that Trump is trying to end democracy by stealing an election. They know for sure he did not win. And they're not saying anything publicly.
Right.
They're backing him publicly, in fact.
Right, I mean, publicly, you're right, they are backing him. And JR put together a fantastic compilation video featuring the very GOP lawmakers that were named by Bernstein supporting Donald Trump and his ridiculous claims of widespread voter fraud, essentially enabling him. Let's take a look at that.
We should demand justice for these innocent victims of this agitation, this chaos, and the looting that we're seeing, the violence around the country. So I think the president is sending a strong and a correct message that we will not tolerate it under any circumstances.
President Trump's been there briefly. And in that time, managed to take the economy from really the doldrums, it was really a flat economy, to one of the best economies we've had in generations.
Unfortunately, you know, Trump, I mean, it's for the Democrats. I mean, they didn't prove anything except that Trump's innocent. I mean, he's the only guy that was transparent. He released the transcript. They said, oh, this horrible phone call. Well, he released it. He ruined their day. We're playing this game that Pelosi has. She just hates Trump.
I know the truth. This president has united tonight in one place at one time. People from all over the world united by one thing. They are proud Americans. Listen, I saw yesterday a video of these people in Texas. Did you see it? All the cars on the road with the car. We love what they did, but here's the thing they don't know. We do that in Florida every day.
Senator, the question was, are you proud of your support for President Trump?
I'm proud to be fighting for Arizona every single day.
Is that a yes or a no for President
Trump? Putting legislation on President Trump's desk.
So you're proud of your support for President Trump?
You look at the legislation we put on his desk, it's to cut Arizona taxes.
It sounds like she is proud of her support for President Trump.
I'm proud to be fighting for Arizona.
Mm-mm-mm. You guys got outed, and I love to see it. So maybe now they can publicly admit what they've been saying privately since Trump has agreed to the transition process.
Yeah, no, and that's part of why I was so animated during this attempted political coup, because I wanted people to know what these people were willing to do, even if they don't succeed at doing it. So they're such clowns, they succeeded at almost nothing in these last 4 years. And so there was some percentage chance that it was going to work, and they were going to have the Republicans at the state level just go, yeah, I lost my mind, I don't care, I'll just put different slate of electors, etc. But even if it wasn't going to work, which is over 90% chance, as I explained in earlier videos, that it wasn't going to work, it's important for people to understand that it happened, because later they'll just cover it up. The mainstream media will go back to praising corporate Republicans and corporate Democrats. That's mainstream media 101. And they'll make it seem like it never happened. No, it happened. They tried to actually pick someone who did not win the election. And that is overturning our democracy. And it was not just Trump. It was all of these Republican senators, full well knowing that they were lying and cheating, that signed on to it.
We got to take a break, but when we come back, we're going to switch gears and talk about some pretty big announcements regarding Joe Biden's cabinet, including who he is likely to choose as his Treasury Secretary. You don't want to miss that and more when we return.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Back on the Young Turks, a couple of quick notes from our sponsors, who are all good guys. That's why they're our sponsors. So if you want to help save the planet, you go to tyt.com/trees. You'll find out how hooking up your credit card and rounding up your change can help plant trees and save the planet. So check that out. And then I also wanted to remind you guys, if you missed the beginning of the show, shoptyt.com is having a 10-day Black Friday sale. And they're doing 10% off of swag today. So go check out shoptyt.com. Don't miss that. All right, go to you guys in the member section. Hercules writes in, Cenk, did you hear that Dianne Feinstein will be stepping down next year from the Senate Judiciary Committee? Your thoughts? That's gonna be in the post game, guys. So hit the join button below if you're watching on YouTube or tyt.com/join anywhere else. And we'll talk about that real soon today for the members. Mr. Lumberg makes another good point. The tweet from Trump had to have been ghostwritten, just like the art of the deal. It sounded way too mature for me to believe it came from the dotard himself. Totally agree. That did not sound like Trump. Sometimes they do grab his Twitter phone and do that, or Twitter account. Fresh Fielder writes in, do we not get down goes Trump three times? Hold. That's just the beginning. We already got it when he actually lost the election. We'll do it when he concedes. In Super Chat, Kristen Langston says, effing finally, cuckoo ka-choo, he really is a walrus. Nice job, Kristen. And then 11111 writes in, how awesome would it be to have a Fafo roast, F-A-F-O roast, for too strong coffee, maybe with extra caffeine or something, in honor of Ilhan Omar's tweet about how Trump effed around and found out. Okay, well, that's awesome. I like the idea. So you never know. TooStrongCoffee.com/TYT. Check that out. And by the way, we got a new Christmas mug coming out soon. You're gonna love. Okay, so Anna, let's keep it going.
All right, well, let's switch over to some Biden related news. President-elect Joe Biden is likely to choose former Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen as his Treasury Secretary. She would be the first woman to serve as Treasury Secretary in this White House role. She was also the first woman to serve as the head of the Federal Reserve. And so whether this is a good thing or bad thing, I think it's a bit of a mixed bag, to be quite honest with you. Progressives seem to like her. Republicans also seem to like her. So I think it's worth mentioning why that is. And so Yellen led the Federal Reserve, or the central bank, from 2014 to 2018. She also served as the top White House economist during the Clinton administration. Now, before she was the head of the Federal Reserve, she was the head of the Federal Reserve for San Francisco. And during that time, she seemed to be a lot softer on Wells Fargo. For instance, in 2010, there was this big debate as to whether or not Wells Fargo should be able to pay dividends to its investors or to engage in stock buybacks. Janet Yellen seemed to be very much in favor of allowing them to do that, even though it jeopardized their capital reserves, which was one of the regulation requirements following the economic collapse of 2008. The whole point of that regulation was to ensure that these banks had enough money reserved, so if there was some sort of shock to the economy, they would have these capital reserves to kind of, you know, get them through that rainy day. But, you know, Janet Yellen took a position on it that I personally disagree with. However, she's done some pretty great things as well. So according to Adam Green, who is the founder of the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, he said Janet Yellen has absolutely shown a willingness to challenge corporate power and not be intimidated by big banks. That is a key ingredient as you rebuild our economy. And so I'm guessing that part of what he's referring to is Janet Yellen's actions following a Senate hearing where Elizabeth Warren gave this impassioned speech about holding Wells Fargo accountable for opening up all of these fake accounts without their customers' consent. So let's take a look at what Warren had to say on the Senate floor.
Time after time, big banks cheat their customers and no actual human beings are held accountable. Instead, there's a fine, which ultimately is paid for by shareholders, not by executives, and certainly not by directors of the board. And nothing's going to change at these big banks if that doesn't change. You know how I know that for a fact? Is because in 2011, the Fed fined Wells Fargo $85 million for illegally steering mortgage borrowers into costlier loans. And the Fed specifically said Those illegal practices were caused by, quote, incentive compensation and sales quota programs and the lack of adequate controls to manage the risks resulting from these programs. So the Fed fined Wells in 2011 for failing to manage the risks resulting from bad incentive compensation practices. And what did Wells do? For the next 4 years, immediately after that fine, the board signed off on incentive compensation practices that led to the creation of 2 million fake accounts. Fines are not working.
So following that, effort to ensure that Wells Fargo actually paid some real consequences for their behavior, Janet Yellen did act. She froze growth at Wells Fargo, and four of Wells Fargo's board members were taken off the board. There was also a financial fine associated with that as well. But it's part of the reason why she seems to get support from both Democrats and Republicans, progressives and conservatives. Because she is willing to hear people out and she is willing to take action when a situation calls for action, as it did with that Wells Fargo story. But I have more details for you, Cenk. I wanted to hear your thoughts first, though.
Yeah. Okay. So it's a compromise pick. So that's as good as progressives are going to get. Other progressive groups were in favor of her because she's good on the environment. So let me just acknowledge that and give credit for that. Now I'm going to keep it real with you guys and tell you what my best guess is as to what Yellen's actually going to do. And so somebody's wrong about this, because progressives and Wall Street do not agree. Wall Street is very happy with the pick because they think she's going to do nothing. Progressives are happy with the pick because they think she's going to do something. So who's right? My best guess is Wall Street is right. And I hate to say that, and I hope my brothers and sisters in the progressive movement are correct. But she might play around the edges, might say things that are rhetorically good. But so why am I guessing she's going to do nothing? Because when she was head of the Federal Reserve, she largely did nothing. She could have moved the rates up. And she barely did it, very incremental. She was nervous. She was nervous, not correct word there, careful, right? Too careful, in my opinion. Careful about what? It might upset the banks and stuff. I get it. It's the head of the Federal Reserve. You have to care what the banks think, right? But they had $4 trillion in toxic assets. They were supposed to move off their books, eventually sell them, at least get some money back. She barely did any of that. And that's because she was too careful. With that kind of, basically, it's not ideology and it's not what she wants to do. It's just her governing method. And so if your governing method is super careful and Joe Biden is the person who picked you, you're likely to be super careful. That means doing close to nothing.
Yeah, in fact, I want to go ahead and show you a tweet by CNBC that shows how the Dow Jones Industrial responded to this announcement. Stocks jump to session highs after Dow Jones reports that President-elect Biden has chosen Janet Yellen to be Treasury Secretary, potentially the first woman to serve in the role. So you can see in the graphic that they link to that the market certainly did react favorably to it. When she was confirmed to basically be the head of the Federal Reserve, there were a lot of Republicans who voted in favor of confirming her. So this is all, stuff to take in mind. I agree with your assessment, Cenk. I think that she's done some pretty decent things in the past, but the fact that the stock market is happy with this pick, I think is a little foreshadowing.
Yeah, so is she better than Mnuchin? Only by a thousandfold. So she's not a crook. She's a perfectly normal bureaucrat that has done some positive things, as Anna pointed out. And again, I want to reemphasize, a lot of progressives are actually happy to see her in that role. So this is not something where the Biden team was being aggressive against progressives. You could argue that it's the opposite case. She was on lists that progressives thought were acceptable and good candidates. So credit to the Biden team for reaching out in that sense. But if I had to put money on it, I'd say Wall Street has her better figured out than we do. And they're probably excited that because they know she ain't gonna do anything. And Republicans agree. They love it when the Treasury Secretary doesn't do anything and keeps the status quo. We have so much more on Biden's picks. Become a member. We'll talk about it in a minute. Press the join button below. We'll see you there. Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.